district convention. How many were at district convention and heard me speak at district convention? Good. All right. So the pastor's the only one that's going to get a rerun this morning. All right. And Janie. All right. You weren't there, were you, Mary? You weren't there. Okay. So this is new to you. Okay. All right. John chapter 1. Everybody grab your Bible and turn to John chapter 1. Now you're just got a little spread out. So if I look like I'm just kind of, I'm like a swinging door this morning, I'm trying to include everybody. All right. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I was preaching a missions emphasis slash dedication service in Lafayette, Indiana. I think it was in the month of March. And somewhere in the midst of one of my messages, I mentioned something about the neighborhoods to the nations. And I stopped. Sister Janie will tell you, I stopped and I said, wow, I said, that's a powerful statement, from neighborhoods to the nations. And I said, I think there's going to be a message come out of this. And that message is still developing. And that message is what I want to share with you this morning. It will also be part and parcel of what I share in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, I will leave out the Swahili, French, and Portuguese this morning, all right? I may get some English in. Amen. But I'll leave the other out, all right? But I really, this is something that God has begun to stir in my heart and in my spirit, from the neighborhoods to the nations. I believe that if we do not win our neighborhoods, we will never win the nations. And we can never win the nations unless we win our neighborhoods. Somebody give me a good amen this morning. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background here this morning, and then we're just going to kind of run with it. All right. And, I'll preach fast if you listen fast. All right. How many will do that? How many going to listen fast? All right. Say, hurry up, preacher. Amen. John chapter 1. I've always loved the book of John, and especially the first few verses of this chapter. It became even more alive for me it's been probably 20 years ago when we were in a general convention in Joplin, Missouri, and our featured speaker for that convention was Bishop J. Floyd Williams, who was with the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Some of you may remember Brother Williams and his ministry. And I was in that service, and I was sitting down close because I didn't want to miss a thing. I was really interested in what this man of God had to say. And then he came on the platform that night, and there was another gentleman with him. They were seated at the platform, and I just kind of watched him, and all during the worship service, he was just very quiet. He sat still, had his hands folded, and the gentleman beside him didn't move at all either. They just were very still. They didn't stand. They were just there. And the longer we went, the more I got concerned, you know, that there was no action, there was no emotion that I was seeing from, you know, this man of God. And so I punched my wife, and I said, you know, we may be in trouble tonight. You know, I don't see a whole lot of emotion coming from Brother Williams. But then he got up, and I know he had a Bible, and I know he opened it. I think he opened it. I'm not sure if he opened it or not. And he started in John chapter 1 and verse 1. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm not kidding you, 1 hour and 45 minutes later, he was still preaching, and I was on the edge of my seat, and he said, I'm going to have to stop. And I said, stop, you just got started. And so there was much more emotion that came from that man that I wasn't sure if there was any in there. But he had the Word of God, and he had certainly the Word from God that night for us. But the 14th verse of this first chapter is the one that has really stood out to me. In the King James, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now, I like that. I really like that. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But in the Message, which some of you understand is not a, it is not a translation, it is a contemporary rendering of the scripture, that the Message renders this verse, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Somebody say amen. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now, I know when we, because I'm a country guy, all right? I'm a country time guy, all right? Did I do good there, Jane? Okay, I'm a countryside guy, all right? I was born and raised in the country. And so our closest neighbors were, we had one house that was about 100 yards away, another one that was about 300 yards away, then the next house was about a half a mile away, and then it just got, you know, worse from there. And so I know what it's like to live in the country, but even in those days, we considered ourselves neighbors. Amen? We were all neighbors. We had neighbors 2 miles away, 3 miles away. We were all still neighbors. And where we lived was called our neighborhood. Somebody say amen. You know, I really think that what God still wants to do in this hour, I know mass evangelism is important. I know large meetings and crusades are important. I know when people have crusades and they have 50 and 75, 100, even as much as a half a million people in attendance. I know those are important times, but I think we should never lose sight of the fact that Jesus was born in the flesh and he moved into his neighborhood and life was never the same thereafter. Amen. We want Jesus to move into the neighborhoods of Oklahoma and Texas and New York and California and all across the continent of this North America and South America and the African continent, Asian continent, the European continent. We want God to move into every neighborhood of this world. Amen. And he can do that through you and I. Somebody say amen. Now, a neighborhood is defined as a district, especially one that forms a community within a town or a city. And you understand, even a rural area can do that. It can be called a region, an area, a quarter, a community, or a zone. Informally, we can call neighborhoods the hood, the old stomping ground, or just my neck of the woods. Anybody ever been there, done that, said that? Yeah. You may have also heard terms for neighborhoods like this: Skid Row, Shanty Town, Ghetto, Slum, Turf, The Dump, The Jungle, or even The Zoo. Amen. I grew up in one of those. Amen. We still kind of have a zoo, don't we? Amen. Yeah. Neighborhoods are everywhere in the U.S. and around the world. In Holland, they are called burts. In France, they are called quartiers. In Germany, they are called nakbashots. In Haiti, they're called quartiers. In Indonesia, they are lingkungans. In Portugal, they are barrios. In Turkey, they are mahalles. And in Sweden, they are kvarters. Now, hopefully nobody here speaks any of those languages, so you have no idea if I said those right or not, all right? Neighborhoods are big, they're small. Neighborhoods can be safe. Neighborhoods can be dangerous. Neighborhoods can be expensive. Neighborhoods can be poor. Neighborhoods can be intercity. Neighborhoods can be urban. They can be suburban, and they can be rural. Are you right? So neighborhoods are everywhere. where? Now, I'm going to skip all that. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. When I was doing some research for this thing we call Neighborhoods to the Nations, I found an interesting article online, and it's found in Wikipedia. I don't recommend Wikipedia for everything that you do, but I found this interesting article on neighborhoods and the sociological impact that neighborhoods have on the world, if you will. And in impact number 2, it read like this. Neighborhoods are convenient and always accessible since you are already there. You just kind of walk out your door and you're in your neighborhood, all right? Now again, understanding in a rural area, you may have to walk a little further, all right? But we can just walk out our doors and the world is there. Come on, help, catch up with me here. All right? We walk out the door and the world is there. Amen. Sometimes sometimes we feel, I'm not a very good witness. I'm shy. I don't speak well. I've never taken, a course on soul winning or how to reach people or witnessing. I've never done that. And I just feel so inadequate. And so therefore I leave that up to someone else. God has done something for every single one of us today that are here. If you're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, God's done something for you. Amen? All God wants is to get out of you what He's put in you and let you speak that to someone else. Okay, now forget about the I'm slow of speech and forget about I'm not good. Forget about I'm shy. Just forget about that. Just think of yourself as a neighbor. Okay, you're just a neighbor and you're walking out the door and you're saying, hi, neighbor. Or if June's over here, you say, hi, June. Or if Bill's over here, you say, hi, Bill. Or if Leroy's over here, you say, hi, Leroy. Or Jane is over here. No, she's over here. You say, hi, Jane. Amen. Now last Saturday? We had a neighborhood barbecue. First ever Saddlebrook Drive barbecue. And we got to know more of our neighbors than we've got to know thus far. Now, when we walk out our front door, Bruce is on this side. Charlie's on this side. And Charlie is a banker. And Charlie also has this relationship with squirrels in the community. And the squirrels have a relationship with Charlie, we discovered, because he has an SUV that they constantly, 3 times, they have eaten the wiring harness off his SUV. Now he has 2 other vehicles that are out as well. And the squirrels don't bother them. It's just the SUV, the one he drives. And so Charlie began a relocation program. He got traps and he would trap a squirrel and then he would relocate it. And apparently there was this one squirrel that was really, just horrendous. I don't know how he identified him, whether he took, paw prints or what he did. Anyway, he tracked the squirrel down, and he trapped him. And you know what he did? You know what Charlie did with that squirrel, that special squirrel? He took him to downtown Dallas and let him go in downtown Dallas. Steel, concrete, not many trees down there. I don't know what that squirrel did. I hope he doesn't find his way home. Because if he does, he's going to eat all the wiring harnesses off of his vehicles. Amen? So Charlie's kind of a unique guy. He's really great. And he said, anytime you need me, I'm just here. You just call me. And sometimes we text and that kind of thing. And Charlie's a good neighbor. Now, Bruce on the other side We became acquainted with Bruce the night we moved in to Bedford, Texas. We arrived with our car stuffed full of stuff, and we were pulling our RV trailer, and I pulled up in front of Bruce's. It was midnight, straight up midnight, on the 21st of December that we pulled in, and I got out, and I was kind of surveying the driveway, and I was looking down the driveway, had my hands on my hips, and I was trying to figure out how, because the driveway had a little curve in it, and I was going to try to figure out how to back that trailer in. And so I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I hear this, "Hey!" And man, like scared 3 years of growth out of me. So you know how big I used to be. Amen. And I look, and here coming across in the dark is this fellow. He's got his hands, you know, stretched out. And when he gets to me, he says, "Hi, I'm Bruce. My wife's Bonnie, and we're your neighbors." I said, "Well, glad to meet you, Bruce." He said, that trailer yours?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're going to try to put it in that driveway?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You ain't going to make it." He turned right around and went back in his house. And that was our first contact with Bruce, all right? And Bruce is he's a great guy, funny guy. Last Christmas, we had several of the kids that were at the house, and the doorbell rings, and I said, "Just somebody grab the door." And when they open the door, Bruce just comes in. He doesn't announce himself, doesn't say who he is, doesn't say, you know, "Is Virgil here?" Nothing. He just walks in, walks down, walks through the house, comes in the kitchen, grabs out a chair, sits down, looks at me. He said, "I have something to say." I said, "Okay." He said, what do you got to say?" He said, "You don't need a house." I said, what are you talking about, Bruce?" I said, "Everybody needs a place to live." "Nah, you don't need a house." I said, "What are you meaning?" I said, we like this place. It's a nice place to live." He said, "You don't need a house." I said, "Bruce, you got me lost. Tell me, what's going on?" He said, "All you need is a motel room. You're never here." So Bruce is a cool neighbor, all right? Charlie's a cool neighbor. We got Ann across the street. Ann and Robert are across the street. And now we learned we have a United Methodist preacher down two houses down from us. And now we have a younger couple, two younger couples up on the left-hand side, and they love Jesus. Woo! All right? And so we had this block party, and we all had name tags, and we're learning who one another are, and we're becoming better acquainted with our neighbors. Amen. You just walk out the door and there they are. Amen. You don't have to worry about what to say. They're just there. You just say hi and the conversation goes from there. Amen. We had a family of coons, raccoons in our attic. And we got up one morning and I had went in my closet. And it sounded like a herd of buffalo, you know, upstairs. And so I came out, and there was Jane and Mary, and they were standing there talking. And I said, who's upstairs? They said, "Nobody." I said, "Somebody's up there. They're tearing up Jack." Amen? And so I get the flashlight. I go upstairs. I have my trusty ball bat, too, with me. And I open the attic door, and these little furry faces are looking at me. Amen. Four of them. They're like teenagers. And they're just having a blast tearing the attic to shreds, you know. And so anyway, now we had a relocation program our own. They sprayed some kind of stuff and they didn't like it, and so they've left, and now we gotta clean the attic up. And so now we have something new to share with the neighbors. Amen. There's always something new to share with the neighbors. Can you say amen? So remember that neighborhoods are convenient. They're always accessible. Number three in those impact statements that I was reading for you is successful neighborhood action frequently requires little specialized technical skill and often little or no money. Somebody said, "Yahoo!" Amen. Action may call for an investment of time. Everybody say time. But material costs are often low. Somebody say low. Neighborhoods are right there. You just walk out the door and there they are. Doesn't take much time to say, hello, how's it going today? You know, doesn't cost anything to do that. Amen. And sometimes the rewards can be tremendous. Amen. There are many ways to influence people and win them to Christ. Churches across the U.S. and around the world are engaged daily in a myriad of ministries, from small Bible studies to mass evangelism, in order to get the gospel message of Christ to the populace. I do think at times we are trying to win the world from the top down. We're heavy on organization and planning. We're strong on hierarchy, ranking everybody in the church according to their status and authority, or at least our perceived status and authority. We are excellent at constructing flow charts, a place for everyone and everyone in their place. We are brilliant at erecting and maintaining beautiful buildings. We are indeed structured in much that we do, and there is nothing essentially wrong with that. But there is something that we can do every single day that probably will not cost us anything or consume all of our time. We can simply walk out our door into our neighborhood and let the neighborhood know that Jesus has moved in. He has become flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now, some neighborhoods are small, some are large. Some are affluent, some are not affluent. Neighborhoods need to know that Jesus has moved into the area. It is surprising that when we walk out our door and engage our communities, the success that it translates for Christ and His kingdom. Remember impact number 3. Action may call for an investment of time, but material costs are low. Return on investment for our genuine concern for our neighborhoods can be significant, and the results are indeed highly visible. You can drive around the block and see that Jesus moved in to the neighborhood. You know when someone gets saved, because things change and things are different. Can you say amen today? Now, all around this globe of ours, right here in the Tecumseh area and Shawnee area, and then the greater Oklahoma City area, all across Oklahoma, all across the U.S., there are neighborhoods of all sizes and shapes and descriptions, and some have different looking people nowadays. Stay with me. Amen. We have 40 million migrants in the United States of America today. We have a population of about 320 million, and some 40, actually close to 42 million of those are migrants, which means that they really didn't start out here. They started out in some other country, and they've moved here. They've moved here for education. They moved here for a job. They've moved here because of family. They've moved here because of persecution. They've moved here for some reason. They've moved here. I know sometimes when we look around our neighborhoods and our neighborhoods start to change, we get a little antsy. We get a little, you know, we get a little anxiety about our neighborhoods changing. Did you ever think that our neighborhoods could be changing because God wants us to touch that segment of our neighborhood? Because there are literally countries today, this morning, that I could never go into. They would never let me in. They would never let me carry my Bible in. They would never let me stand and preach not a single service in that country. But I could win a neighbor, and that neighbor could go home to that country. That neighbor can call home to that country. That neighbor can write home to that country. That neighbor can send an email to that country and tell their family and friends, something happened to me. And my life is different because all of a sudden I have found this man called Jesus Christ, and he now lives and reigns. I've accepted him into my life, and my life is so different now than it was ever before. I never had to set foot in that country. My neighbor did that because I loved my neighbor, and I shared with my neighbor, and I cared about the eternity of my neighbor. Amen. We have a crazy area where we live. We go to a pharmacy, and the lady behind the counter is an Israeli. Amen. And then Janie has her nails done. Sometimes you ladies do that type of thing. And there's a Vietnamese lady that does that, and she thinks I am handsome. She always asks Janie, your husband, where is your handsome husband? I like to go once in a while just to hear that. All right. I don't know. There's just countless ones that we meet over and over and over from the various nations just that we've been to. And they're in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood. And so we have an opportunity that God has afforded us that perhaps 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we didn't have that opportunity. We were in a single country touching lives there. But now we have a chance to touch countless lives simply because we touch a neighbor. A neighbor. Neighborhoods to the nations. As we win our neighbors and as we win our neighborhoods, neighborhoods become multiplied and become states. States become multiplied and they become countries. Countries become multiplied and they become continents. And we wonder how there are at this moment that we know of approximately 2.8 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus nor the gospel message. 2.8 billion. And we wonder how could we ever in our lifetime, how could we ever think of reaching that 2.8 billion people for Jesus? Well, news travels fast. Amen. Just tell something to a neighbor and see if it doesn't go quickly. Amen. Amen. And then we have the tremendous technology. What are you doing, Jane? What are you playing this game for? I'm just joking. Amen. You know what they call these things? These are smartphones. And the reason they're smartphones is because they're smarter than the people that are using them. All right? I just carry one because somebody calls me once in a while. All right? Anyway, wonderful technology that just a little bit ago, a few years ago, we could not have picked up a device this small and called around the world. Now we can do that. In fact, if we want to, we can bring up on Skype or Facebook anyone in the entire world on this little device. Amen. Now, here's what I'm hoping for, and I'm winding down here. Somebody said amen. I am really hoping for that little device soon to speak multiple languages. You say, yeah, that's coming. It's already in the works. There are some areas that can already do that, computers that can do that. But I read an article just the other day that soon coming, it's going to come on probably on the iPhone and every other smartphone that you can speak into that phone English and talk to someone that's speaking Russian on the other end. It will come out Russian to them. they're going to speak Russian into their phone, and it's going to come out English on your phone. Amazing? Why? And you think, oh man, those are the devil's tools. Those are the devil's tools. No, they're not. God is making those things available so that 2.8 billion people that never heard the gospel message can hear for maybe the very first time. And 100 other things that are connected with technology. But that, it's not going to happen with that alone. It's going to happen with you and I walking out our doors and saying, Jesus, I love you so much. Today, let me talk to Charlie, or let me talk to Bruce, or let me talk to Ann, or let me talk to Denny, or let me talk to Bob, or let me talk to Bill or Ed down the street. And let me just somehow drop a word of encouragement into their hearts and into their lives. Because if they change, then someone else will change because they changed. And you see the chain reaction that comes. Amen? It's not mass evangelism necessarily, but it's solid evangelism. Neighborhoods to the nations. Now you're a part of that because you're in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 believer. Amen. And when the Spirit of God has resided in you and on you, and you've allowed the Holy Ghost of God to become a part of your life, you become a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part. You're doing that. You're engaged in that. But let's crank it down a couple more notches, come back home, and say, am I a good neighbor? Am I a good neighbor? Who is my neighbor? That question was asking the word, who is my neighbor? Jesus, when Jesus is talking about this, neighbor means literally anyone, anywhere, any language, any culture, they're our neighbors. Amen. So if we can win our neighborhoods, we can win the nations. If we don't win our neighborhoods, I'm not sure we're going to win the nations. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a church, God, that loves you. I thank you, Lord, for pastors that are on fire and, God, that train others to love and to emulate the things of God. I thank you, Lord, for a church that is vibrant. And God, they're active. They're Acts 1 and 8 church. God, they're active in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost. I ask you, Lord, to bless them. I ask you, God, to bestow those things which are needful and necessary. God, for their reaching out and the winning of their neighborhoods, their neighbors, their friends, their families. Because God, when we reach them, we can reach the nations. God bless you in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you again. Pastor, it's always good. And Pastor Stone, I think, has always called me brother. He either calls me Brother Johnson or something. Anyway, I think he does that just to torment me. Amen.